This is The Gardening Show
with Master Gardener Bob Harris
on WESB.
Presented by Worth W. Smith Hardware.
Call the show 368-WESB.
That's 368-9372.
And here we are. Good morning, Master Gardener himself, Bob Harris. How are you?
Good morning, Dan. How are you?
I'm terrific, and I'm enjoying the cooler air.
Same here.
Yeah. So if you have a question for Bob, of course, the phone lines are always open for you. 368-WESB. We are on Facebook Live today. Bob, you brought some show and tell. We'll get to that in a little bit, right?
Yeah.
But first, we were going to talk and wrap up a little bit about what we were talking about last week about the apple.
With Johnny Appleseed. I told you where he came from and how he traveled, and that he set up nurseries here and there, and you could buy apple trees in Marietta, Ohio, grafted, grown in a nursery, not owned by Johnny Appleseed, but owned by Rufus Putnam, and he was
That Rufus Putnam?
Yeah, he was a war hero.
Okay.
But his was a little bit too expensive, and people didn't really want to buy apples to eat. They wanted the apples to make cider because that was the American drink and kind of still is. The apple, since it was for drink, it became a little abused, and we had to kind of invent a group of ladies, the Women's Christian Temperance Union, and they declared war on the apple. And their saying was, "Carry Nathan's hatchet," and it was meant for saloon doors and apple trees, chop them all down. Well, then the Apple Coalition, or people, come up with a new saying, you know, that it was good for your health. And it is. It's kind of amazing, the chemicals that are in it, that's good for us. And so it has kept the apple popular, and that saying, you know, an apple a day keeps the doctor away, you know, all that is really kind of true. But you know, the apple became so doggone popular that once it became a food, really, then a drink, people started looking for the next great apple find. And applesauce,
that's my favorite.
Yeah, I love applesauce too. But there was a farmer who noticed that the neighborhood boys were always drawn each winter to the falls around a certain tree that turned out to become the York Imperial, the king of the keepers, that can keep up to 6 months. A stubborn seedling kept coming up in between the rows of Jesse Hyatt's orchard in Peru, Iowa. And he would mow it down every year until the Quaker farmer decided it must be a sign. So he let it grow and fruit. And he discovered the apples were the best he had ever tasted. And Jesse Hyatt named it the Hawkeye. And then in 1893, Jesse mailed four to the contest of the Stark Brothers Nursery in Louisiana. And it was awarded first prize. And they bought it and renamed it the Delicious. And so that's how the Delicious came about. The original Golden Delicious tree was found in, and it lived from 1914 into the 50s inside a steel paddock cage. And that was a publicity stunt by Paul Stark of the Stark Brothers, who bought the tree for $5,000 in 1914. And in 1914, that's a tremendous amount of money, but he knew the value of that tree. And knowing that, you know, you just can't grab a delicious apple and plant the seeds from that delicious apple, because they don't come true. Mm. It'll only be one in about 80,000 of those seeds that will become another delicious apple. So he knew that once he had that apple tree, he could do grafts from it and really own the rights to that tree, so he could continue to make money off that for the rest of his life. So at that time, everyone was out there searching their orchard for the next great apple find, and so they could become a rich man. And I can even remember as a child going in the 50s, at my grandpa's house up in Lakeview, New York. There was a large apple orchard in behind his property, which was a pretty old piece of property. That was from the early 1800s. And he would say, you know, if you kids find any neat apples back there, good tasting apples, let mark that tree and let me know. Because he thought, well, maybe he'd become the next rich guy. We found apples, but nothing extra special. Like I said, most apples don't become edible, really, especially when they're grown from seed, the wild apples. Very, very, very few are become like a table apple or a good one to eat. So that kind of ties up my apple stories.
I want to know where the guy got all. How many thousands of dollars was that back then?
Oh, 5,000.
Woo-wee.
Yeah. Yeah, in 1914, that's a lot of money.
That's like $250,000.
Yeah.
I don't know really what it is, but that's a lot of money.
It is.
Yeah.
So that's why everybody started. And I remember everybody going out searching woods and fields to try to find that extra special apple so that they could call the Stark brothers and become a rich man too.
Neat. Are we going to talk about your show and tell today?
Yeah, I have a mum here, chrysanthemum. This is the time of year that they really start to shine. They're a real late bloomer, and they'll bloom through several frost, right up to a very hard frost. That's what makes them real neat. I brought in a yellow one, but they come in a lot of different colors. And this one is a garden mum, a hardy garden mum. So this one can be planted in the ground and become a perennial with a little extra care. After winter does set in, and the, most of the foliage and the flowers have died off, then you want to trim it back, but leave about 6 inches of the stems sticking out. That's going to help protect the plant from the dry winter winds. And then for a little added extra protection, I would take a couple handfuls of mulch and dump it right in the center of the plant. The mums have a very, very shallow root system, so they're real susceptible to winter damage. So if you dump that few handfuls of mulch right in the center, then come spring, you can kind of scrape it out once you see growth begin. It'll become a perennial for you. So it's a very neat plant, very inexpensive plant, and it's pretty nice to have something freshly blooming late in the season.
I like how you say it's an inexpensive plant. That was the number one reason. That was the first plant / flower, air quotes, that I bought for my very first girlfriend when I was a teenager.
Oh, no kid.
Like, here, these roses are a lot of money. Oh, these mums are like $2.
Yeah.
I get that. She was like, oh, you got me mums. I didn't know. It was, you know, come on.
Well, it was very, very popular to get mums. And there, you know, you can get mums just about any time of year, really. But here in Bradford, we like them for the fall season. They really represent the end of the growing season. Chrysanthemum, great plant. Old story, if I remember it right, a Chinese fellow, you know, this is going back hundreds and hundreds of years.
You're not that old now, are you?
No, I'm not. I didn't know him personally.
Just kidding.
He was a high government official, and he was offered another position, even higher, with a lot of pay. But he decided that he just wanted to go home and care for his mums. So that's how mums got the reputation of being a respectful and honest type plant, that money doesn't always matter, you know, a position doesn't always matter. This guy just wanted to sit home and care for his mums and enjoy life that way.
Oh, that's nice. Hey, we have our one comment anyway of Facebook. Just somebody, that's Kara saying good morning.
Oh, well, good morning, Kara.
But if you have a question for Bob, you could either comment on Facebook Live or you can give us a call at 368-WESB. That's 814-368-9372. And I have to check our inbox here for garden@WESB.com, the email. and we can get your question to Bob that way. And you could also send your pictures and stuff, too.
Yeah.
I think you could do that on Facebook Live, too, can't you? Can't you comment with a picture?
I believe so. Yeah, I believe. I'm not positive, but I believe so.
Check with the judges on that.
Okay.
Anyway, we'll take a short break. We'll be back, and we'll have more Gardening Show right after this on WESB.
If you need it, you'll find it at Worth W. Smith Company Hardware in Bradford. If it's time to seal your driveway, you'll find sealant, brushes, squeegees, everything you need for the job. They have a huge supply of railroad ties for your lawn and garden projects, leaf blowers in gas, battery, and corded electric models, and a brand new line of cordless Makita tools with interchangeable batteries. Your friends at Worth W. Smith hope you're staying safe and remind you to wear a mask, wash your hands, and observe social distancing whenever possible.
Welcome back to The Gardening Show, B107.5 FM, and on Facebook.com/WESB107.5. One of the bonus kind of things that you can get today, you can hear us during the commercial. And what do we talk about?
Oh, all right.
Fascinating. Post-nasal drip.
Yeah. I'll be darned.
368-WESB, 814-368-9372. And go ahead and comment away on Facebook Live.
So some of the things. Yeah.
Kara did the research. $5,000 back then. Who bought the Apple?
Yeah.
Is worth $128,487 today.
Yeah, that's a good chunk of change.
Wow.
Yeah. That's why Grandpa sent me out there searching the forest. Yeah. And never found it.
Oh.
But a few hints, too, for all the gardeners. And this not only for vegetables, but for your flowering plants and trees, shrubs, all that. Just something popped into my mind here, too. You know, besides the mums, it's coming up that time where bulbs will become available on the market. Bulbs are probably, to me, one of the most fascinating plants. I liken it to a buddy of mine, a classmate of mine, says he's always fascinated when he grows potatoes because you just plant them in the ground, you watch all the foliage, you know, for months, and then you finally dig up and find all those nice, delicious tubers. So it's just fascinating, you know, how that works for him. It gets a big thrill out of it. Well, I always get a big thrill out of bulbs. You plant them this time of year, and you have nothing to show for
right
until spring.
Right.
You know, so, and every year I just fret and fret about, are they surviving
exactly
through the winter?
Yeah. You know, are they see anything? And
yeah. Are the mice and the voles chewing them up? And then all of a sudden spring comes along and here they all pop up and, you know, and start to flower and I'm all relieved. So It's a great, great thing. And, you know, they're so doggone inexpensive. It's about the cheapest plant you'll ever plant. And they're a really good, good perennial. There are daffodils out there that a lot of us that hike in the woods or hunt in the woods, you may see some daffodils out in the middle of the woods growing there. And you wonder, geez, why the devil are those there? And you can probably count on the fact that there was probably a homestead there. And the homestead has disappeared, but daffodils remain growing there.
Now, that's fascinating.
Yep. You can always count on that. They just don't appear naturally in our woods. So you can always count that there was probably people living right here at one time. There may be no sign of them, but except for the daffodils.
Wow.
You know, I've seen that a few times. And the same goes with I've talked about before, the lilac. The lilac will outlive a home every time. Sometimes you may see just a lilac bush growing out in the field and wonder, why is that? Well, there probably was a homestead there, and that was probably planted right about the front porch. And the home is gone, but the lilac continues. So kind of neat that way.
It is.
But back to the bulbs, you know, so easy to grow, too. Most of them, daffodils, tulips, hyacinths, you can just dig a hole about 4 to 6 inches deep. Doesn't really matter if it's 4 inches. Doesn't really matter if it's 6 inches. Just around that area. And put it in with the pointy end up. That helps, you know. But if it doesn't, it's going to correct itself. One of those magical things in nature. It can correct itself.
fill that hole with soil and walk away. Come spring, you'll see the plant emerge and flower. Can't be easier than that. No way.
Well, our daffodils, the problem is, okay, they're coming back every year.
Yeah.
But they, I don't know if it's because of a late frost or something like that, or they're just not getting enough sun. I don't know what it is. But they don't seem to last. They last, you know, like two, 3 weeks maybe.
Huh.
And well, then they kind of fall down, and that's the end of that.
Well, it's going to depend on the weather. You know, if you can get a nice sunny and cool day, they're going to last for a longer period of time. If it does get warm, a little bit of dry, it can shorten their lifespan, their flowering lifespan.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Of course, the bulb's going to re-energize and do it again next year.
Right, right, yeah.
So, yeah, it can depend on the weather. It can even depend on the planting site. If you plant them possibly in the shade of a tree, you might get a little longer bloom period than if they are out in an open area where it's full sun all day long.
This particular one I'm thinking about, it gets the sun in the morning.
I think. In the morning.
Yeah, like late morning. Yeah, and maybe about 4 hours of sun.
Oh, ideal conditions.
Is that ideal?
That's okay. Ideal, yeah.
Well, then what is the deal, Bob?
Well, it can be variety, too. It can be variety. Some do last longer. Some are quick to go through their flowering period.
Do you think it would matter if they're too close to the house planted?
No.
No,
it wouldn't matter at all.
Because it's like right up against the porch in the house. Like
no.
In the corner there.
That shouldn't matter at all. Right. Nope.
Maybe they aren't getting that much sun as I thought, or too much. I don't know. I have to check this out now. I'm gonna have to
I'm
gonna have to sit there all day and then
try another variety with them too. That's what's neat too. There are early blooming ones, mid season blooming ones, and then late season blooming ones. So you can get what we call succession of blooms.
Oh,
start.
I had no idea about that.
Oh,
I just always thought it was just okay. In the spring, they'll come up.
Oh, no, yeah. Some are destined to bloom early. Okay. Some are destined to bloom late.
Oh.
So by putting in a variety of daffodils, we'll say, you can start getting the blooms from late April on in through to almost the 1st of June even.
That's very cool.
And
I'm glad I brought that up then.
Mention something else too. Now there are highly scented daffodils even with a nice perfume scent. Some people don't really like the smell of daffodils. I love the smell of daffodils, but there are nicely scented ones. There's one of my favorites is called geranium daffodil. Has the scent of a geranium. But there are even lilac flavored ones.
Flavored, yes.
Scented ones.
I say that too. Now, would that attract more bees because of the smell or?
That it's a good possibility.
Yeah.
It's good. I really don't know for a fact, you know, but that's a very good possibility. And that, you know, that can be important. I'm glad you brought that up. Because if we are trying to support the bee population in our yards, we got to do it more than just June, July, and August.
Mm-hmm.
We have to start early because they're going to start early. As soon as the weather permits, they're going to wake up and start looking for some pollen and other foods. So the earlier we can get some blooms in our yard, like with the bulbs, the earlier we're going to start supporting those pollinators. And of course, then vice versa with late ones too, like the mum here. That's going to be blooming real late. So if you got any of those late bees and pollinators, the mum is an excellent choice to keep them well fed so that they can survive the winter easily.
You know, I do my part in supporting the bees. I have a lovely variety of dandelions for them.
Oh, boy.
Every year. Instead of cutting the grass, I cut my weeds.
That kind of brings me to a little story then about your lawns, because my daughter and I always fought about this. My daughter loves dandelions. She just loves them. I don't like them. because I'm an old-fashioned yard guy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important that when a lot of new gardeners, so I want them to know, you know, when you're planting the vegetable gardens and you start to have problems with weeds in your garden and you think that's a hassle pulling weeds, or diseases or a lot of insects. You know, sometimes it can benefit you by having a nice lawn without the weeds in it, like dandelions, because all those weeds attract insects. A lot of those weeds help incubate certain diseases and funguses.
Oh, good.
So if you can rid your lawn of the weeds one way or the other, you will be a little more successful in your vegetable garden, your flowering plants, your shrubs and trees everywhere.
See, I didn't even think of that. I just thought it was an eyesore.
Oh, no.
Wow.
No, they support a lot of the bad things that go on in our our garden. The weeds do.
Oh, interesting.
But there are good points to weeds too. There are good points. I can remember even like clover.
I got clover.
Back in my younger days, when my grandfather and my father would be repairing a part of the lawn, putting down grass seed. Always would have to go to Agway to buy some clover seed, too, to the mix in there. You wanted about 20% clover in with your grass seed. So you always had something green there, and you always attracted the bees for the vegetable garden. Back then, we all had a vegetable garden, you know, so we wanted to attract the bees there. So that's a couple little stories of my past there. Am I boring you, Dan?
Absolutely not, because I'm just thinking.
Oh, you're full of baloney.
No, because my lawn is probably 50% actual grass, and the rest is clover.
Oh, okay.
I mean, and in the front lawn, I have, it's just a lot of moss. I mean, I have anything but. It's all green.
Yeah.
Except the dandelions when they're, you know, they're yellow. But
and most of us, that's our purpose, is to just have it green.
Yeah. And the clover when they're those puffball things, right?
Yeah.
And well, what I don't like, though, is I have dogs, and I'm always worried that they're going to step on a bee.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So
yeah.
that's kind of why I want to cut it down a little bit.
A little bit,
We had a lot of bees in the yard this year.
You know, and this is a great time of year to rid your lawn of weeds, unwanted weeds. Because what the weeds are doing, and most plants are doing, we call it translocating all their energy from their foliage down to their roots. So that right now, if you use an herbicide, you're going to become more successful now than ever before, because they're all in that mode where they're trying to gather as much energy as possible and send it down to the roots so the roots are full of nutrients come spring. So if you put an herbicide on it, they're going to collect all that herbicide, send it right to the roots, and, of course, that truly kills off the plant. A lot of us may try to kill off dandelions early in the spring, and we wonder, geez, that didn't work. It came right back. That's because sometimes those plants, they're doing that reverse translocation of their energies. They're sending all the energy from the root back up to the leaves. Now, you've killed off the leaves, but there's still plenty of energy in the roots so it can regrow.
Right.
So, to me, now is the best time to really rid your lawn of those weeds.
Let me ask you this.
Yes.
Once you do eliminate the weeds, let's put it this way, in the spring, are you gonna see a bunch of just naked patches in your yard where the clover used to be? or will there be grass in its place and there's more grass than I think?
Okay, good question. Now, it's going to depend on the population of your weeds. Now, if you have a huge population, you're going to have a bare spot. Now, if you have a good stand of lawn, most lawns in this area have the capability of filling in the bare spots. So they will migrate into those bare spots. Mm-hmm. But it's really a recommendation once you kill off a lot of those weeds and you got a big brown spot that you just kind of rough it up with a rake a little bit and throw some grass seed down and try to stay off that area for a few weeks. And that grass seed will germinate and finally populate that area. And by doing that, the thicker your grass is, the less chance you'll have weeds. Because the weeds are just sitting there, the weed seeds are sitting there waiting for sunlight. But if you have a nice thick lawn, possibly 3 inches tall, it shades the surface of the soil, so it makes it difficult, almost impossible, for the weeds to grow. So this isn't something you have to do every year, you know, six times a year. Once you get a good stand of lawn, it gets easier and easier every year.
Yeah. Now, that's something I was thinking about doing, yeah, because, well, especially it's easier to have a taller, healthier-looking lawn
yeah.
when you don't have to use it. Like, you know, we like to use and you know, play with the dogs
yeah,
and have
sure.
barbecues and stuff, you know, and we want it lower so we're not always, you know, tripping over thick grass.
Okay.
You know? So, you know, there was an area that we thought maybe it would just look nice, like, towards the front of the house. We don't ever hang out by the front door and by the street.
Okay.
So let it grow out a little bit longer there. And that was what the idea was. And that all went to heck. But we'll try again next year.
Okay. You know, and it is.
And that way it looks nice from the street, you know, the curb appeal. Right?
Yeah. And it is okay to have shorter grass, no shorter than an inch and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And it is okay to do that. But one of the secrets behind it is, you know, that there's a little bit of sunlight going to hit the soil. It's going to dry out a little quicker, going to give the weeds a little easier chance to germinate there. But if you get in the habit, you can train grass. I know it sounds funny. You can train grass just like you can your pet, you know. So if you get on a cycle of mowing it, and I'm not saying every Saturday, you know, because grass goes through a different cycle. Early in the spring, it grows rapidly. So, yeah, you have to mow it every Saturday. And then come July and August, it slows down. Now you can go, instead of every 7 days, you can go 10 days before you mow it, maybe even longer. And then when we get back in the fall, like now when it gets cool, because grass is a cool season crop, it loves the cool, damp weather. Then you have to get back on that every Saturday again mowing. So if you get on a cycle like that, a regular cycle, you will have a better stand of grass, too, by training it and letting it know that I'm going to mow you every Saturday, so if you're going to do any growing, you better hurry up and grow.
Yes.
I know.
That's what you mean by training.
Yeah.
Huh? Okay.
I know it's hard for a lot of people to imagine, but there is a thinking process going on here with nature. Yeah. And it's hard for me to explain, you know, I'm not saying they have intelligence.
Or, right, but they know, you better do your growing now or you're going to get the blade again.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Oh,
they
wow.
learn that. Maybe some people have noticed their dandelions, how early in the spring, or if you bought a new house, how some of your dandelions, the leaves stick straight up in the air and the flowers straight up in the air. And if you go out there and mow quite often, you know, all of a sudden, you'll start to see your dandelions are growing flat, and their flower isn't very tall. They're trying to escape the mower. Now, this is a fact.
Wow.
This does happen. Plants do sense what's going on because they've been doing that for millions and millions of years by the grazers, you know.
Ah, okay.
Not by us. We haven't really trained them. But they do remember the grazers of millions of years ago, and this is what they had to do.
Right. You better keep a low profile or Stegosaurus is going to eat you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Bob, we are just about out of time. Is there anything else that you wanted to hit real quick? We have about 1 or 2 minutes. We'll go over a little bit since we started a little over.
Yeah. I think I better mention, you know, there's some spots available for the new Master Gardener course that's going to start in October. That's going to be all online. It's a great thing if you want to get active, meet other people, do some great things for the community, or if you just want to freshen up your knowledge of how to grow plants, it's a great thing.
So you can actually interact with people even though it's online.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what is it, like a video chat kind of thing?
Yeah, or? Zoom meetings we have and
cool.
video chats.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, very cool. So how do we get more information?
I would just call the County Cooperative Extension Office at 887-5613, and they can lead you to the website and get you all fixed up.
I remember hearing on our hometown events feature that we do on WESB and the Hero, I think we had that up on there as well. So if you want to check out, I think we have some information on WESB.com as well on that.
Yeah, it's become extremely, extremely popular.
And you want to give out that? Oh, you don't have the number on you? Or
yeah, the phone number?
Yeah, go ahead and give that out.
That's the Cooperative Extension Office in Smithport. That's 887-5613.
Very cool.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Is that anything else?
Did
we cover it all?
I think we covered it all, yeah.
I like your show and tell. Thanks for bringing in the Munns today.
You betcha. That's a dandy, isn't it?
It is. It's a, yeah, very vibrant yellow. And you know what? I think we need something like that in the studio. Look how gray it is in here.
It is.
All the soundproof carpeting on the wall. It's yeah. Like, you know, we need a pop of color in here. Hey, thanks a lot, Bob. We'll talk again next week on The Gardening Show, brought to you by Worth W. Smith.